Good morning, everyone. Good to see you out, and some of you have traveled long distances on those roads, and wasn't sure how they're going to be after the snow and the melting that we had yesterday, and so thank the Lord for safety on them. How is it coming from Agassiz? Not too bad. Good. Praise the Lord. We got Baptist Breads for January. You might have already got a copy. They've been at the back for a little bit. Just wanted to remind you that if you haven't grabbed them, you can go ahead and take one. Okay, well, we're going to get into our study with Proverbs. And we'll go to Proverbs chapter 17. And we're going to read chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 17, 4 and 5. Stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. Okay. Proverbs 17, verses 4 and 5. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for the safety you've given to those that have driven here, and for any that are still on the road, so we ask that you give them safety, we pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts with these verses. Lord, we pray that we would not be a wicked doer at any point in time in our life. Lord, that we would not give heed to false lips, that we would not be a liar, that we would not give heed to a naughty tongue. Lord, help us not to reproach the poor. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. I was interested in doing a little study on this with the two in the same verse. We have the phrase giveth heed, and then we see giveth ear. And sometimes in scripture you will see the same Hebrew word or words used twice, and the translators will give it they'll use a different word or phrase in the English. They have that license to do that. In some cases, they're analogous words. They mean the same thing. And in other cases, like this verse here, there's different words. So the Hebrew words here in the first phrase, giveth heed, is different than the one that says giveth ear later in the verse. So giveth heed has the indication of ears being pricked up, like the ears of a horse. For those of you that have had horses, you'll know sometimes how you want a horse to come to you and the horse is kind of laid back or just sort of bored, and they're walking away from you. They have a sense that there's a halter behind your back, and maybe there is. And so then you bring that pail of oats and you shake it, and all of a sudden those ears, they prick forward. What do I hear? Oh, I love oats. They prick their ears forward. And that's what it says there in the Strong's dictionary definition when looking at giveth heed. The ears pricking up. And isn't it interesting that the wicked doer pricks up his ears to false lips? And one might think, well, wouldn't the wicked doer see right through that? Wouldn't they, because they are a liar themselves, why would they be tricked? Well, wicked are so hardened against the truth and against spiritual light that they are themselves are an easier prey for others of their craft. Let's take a look at some verses. Same book, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. So those that forsake the law of God will praise the wicked. They're on the same page with the wicked. They will lift them up, and at times they will be fooled by the wicked. But we see that those that keep the law, those that are in the law of God, which gives discernment to the eyes and to the ears, they contend. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, moving a couple books over. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11. People who are wicked, who are rebellious, hear what they want to hear. They will choose to ignore truth. So Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to their seers or their prophets, see not, prophesy not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. We want our ears tickled. We want to hear nice things. Prophesy deceit. So it doesn't matter if it's not true. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Do what you can to get God to leave us alone. We enjoy this way of life. And they want God to be moldable. Let's take a look over in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? So the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, and that speaks of ungodly priests. You think of Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were very ungodly. So the priests, they rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. People like that. Why? Because, as the scripture says in the New Testament, men are lovers of darkness. They're not lovers of the light. We don't have a natural bent towards the light. Our natural bent is towards darkness because of that old sin nature that we inherited. But you notice there, that little rhetorical question, and what will ye do in the end thereof? What's going to happen? It can't go on forever. And there's a day of reckoning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, how sad is that? It's a commentary on humanity, right from the very beginning. It's not something new. It is getting worse and worse, where people do not want to endure sound doctrine. They want to just sort of simplify the Bible. They want to get it down to just principles like God is love. And they do not want to hear about that place called hell. They don't want to hear about the wages of sin is death. It grates on them, hurts their feelings. They don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way. Now, that the way to salvation is by repenting, turning away from that sin that they love, and asking for forgiveness, putting their trust in Jesus Christ alone. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. Read verses 4 and 5. 1 John 4, 4 and 5. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a great verse that is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world pricketh up their ears. The world listens. Even though they know it's not true, they're satisfied to have themselves duped. Now let's go back into our text in in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4. Proverbs 17, verse 4. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So, of course, the question here is, what is the naughty tongue? You know, in these days, it sort of has a the word naughty has a connotation that can be sort of just like, oh, silly, or actually something that is sort of perky. And it's definitely, it does not have the negative connotation that it used to have, or the degree of negativity. So the negative tongue, when you do a word study on the word, it refers to the person that is covetous, who eagerly rushes into situations, or they eagerly rush after certain things that they feel will satisfy their hunger, whether it be wealth, popularity, some sort of physical lust, whatever it is. That's what the naughty. That's what it means to be naughty. And the naughty tongue is the one that speaks of those things. And I mentioned there's a difference between the phrase giveth heed in verse 4 of our text and giveth ear. And giveth ear is a little stronger than just pricking of the ears. It has to do with like the cupping of the ear, where you're actually trying to hear it more carefully. You're really trying to listen in. I don't know if it's the case, but I've also wondered if the cupping of the ear could possibly be where someone speaks into someone else's ear, you know? Cups the ear and they speak quietly to them. And often in cases like that, there's good reason to speak quietly, because they don't want other people to hear the wickedness that they are concocting. So in the context of this verse, the liar listening to the naughty tongue, it's a liar that is enticed by that naughty person who speaks to them of easy wealth or ways to satiate their lusts. You know, when it comes to wealth, I there's so many people that want to come into money, and they try different methods. Lotto 649 and various other things like that, which we believe is contrary to Scripture. The Bible says, hasten not to be rich. I saw a photo. You know those, you know, sometimes you get those photos that you see floating around the internet, and they'll have a statement on the photo. And I don't know who wrote it. The backdrop was Albert Einstein. I did a search trying to find out if he potentially possibly wrote it, but the statement was, get a job, and 14 days later you'll come into money. I kind of like that. Now I know sometimes getting a job is easier said than done. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes qualified people, hardworking people, sometimes wait a good deal of time before they are able to find something. They try hard. But there's the naughty tongue is one that says, well, you know what? You don't have to work hard for this. This is an easy one. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. Solomon here, speaking to his son, warns against the naughty person, the naughty tongue that speaks about getting things that they have no right to get. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Just give us your money. We'll put it all together. We'll have one purse. Oh, how convenient. My son, verse 15, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. It talks about the net. Birds, if it's in plain sight, you know, birds will avoid that snare. Other animals, if it's in plain sight, if a trap is not hidden by something, they will avoid it. But these people here, they lay traps. And what happens? They fall into it themselves. They lay wait for their own blood. So at the end of the day, they are the ones that are the victims of their own trap. Can't quite call them a victim, though, can you? But you know, as much as these people try to work together, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4, the wicked doer, the person with false lips, the liar, the person with the naughty tongue, these people that work together for evil. Let's take a look back in one chapter back, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. That is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Though the wicked join hands together, and they'll say, "We're in this together. We can't be knocked down." God is in control. They will not be unpunished. Now let's look at the next verse, Proverbs 17, verse 5 in our text. Proverbs 17, verse 5. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. I think we can see in Scripture that we're not supposed to mock anybody. That, I mean, even those that we disagree with, we're told to love our enemies, to bless those that curse us. But those that are poor, we ought to be careful not to mock them. You know, it's sad to see, you know, some of the things that happen, you know, with the Syrian refugees. You know, recently we had that incident in Vancouver with the refugees that got pepper sprayed when they first came into Canada, some guy on a bicycle. And you see some of the things that people post online about them. Now, I mean, certainly there's some things happening in Europe that ought not to be happening. And there ought to be caution. But as far as, like, mocking them, I believe that's unwise, it's unbiblical, it's ungodly. And it goes for any of the poor. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. Another thing to consider is that Christ died for every single person on this world. If we reproach someone, if we mock them, if we injure them in some way, we are mocking, we are injuring the person who died for them. We might not agree with them. Every person has a different take on different situations, and every person is going to have a different point of view. We will speak out against sin. We'll speak out against false doctrine, and we'll speak out against it vehemently. But the Lord still wants every single person to come to salvation. The Lord still wants us to watch out for the poor. When we think of the scripture in James, it says that pure religion before God, Father, is this. I'll just read for you to get the context and get it so I don't misquote it here. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The fatherless and the widows, I believe, you know, we're looking at people that are disadvantaged, people that are likely poor. And God says, that's pure religion. That's not the way of salvation, but that's the way that we are to live out our salvation is keeping those first two commandments of promise, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind, to love our neighbor as ourself. Let's take a look at a few verses on this. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21. Proverbs 14, 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now, there are times when we have to be discerning. And a person will come to you with a story of woe. And, you know, I've given some as illustrations before without, of course, mentioning names, but as I've been approached by people in the community or been phoned as a pastor. And, you know, I've heard many, many stories, and as I dig deeper into it, I've caught the person in a lie. And it's become very clear to me that this person just wants money. And I've had people get exasperated. We had one individual that came here years ago. The guy exasperated and finally said, I need $5 a day for booze and marijuana. And I said, well, we don't cover that. You know, he was telling me, oh, I need money for accommodations. And I just kept digging. I said, you know what? Let me help you. We don't give money away. But, you know, if you need groceries, I'd be happy to get you some groceries. I need money for accommodations. You know, on and on and on until finally he said what he needed or what he wanted. $50 a day, marijuana and alcohol. So we have to be discerning. But those that have a genuine need, we're not to reproach them. And if God gives us the ability and he burdens our heart to meet that need, to help them as best we can, then we ought to. In that same chapter, Proverbs 14, 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Very similar verse to our text, Proverbs 17, 5. But he that honoreth hath mercy on the poor. And you know, I've mentioned this before, but there will be times when we will ourselves be duped by someone's tale of woe, and later on we'll go, oh, you know, well, we might see them walking out of a liquor store later after we've helped them out, and we're like, oh, really? That's where my money just went. And you know what? It can make a person bitter, and I don't think it should. That's where I say, okay, Lord, you know why I gave that money away. That was your money, Lord, that I gave away, because, you know, really, all the money that we get is the Lord's. He entrusts it with us to use it wisely. But we say, Lord, I gave your money away. I guess maybe I was duped, but I still did it. I did it for the right intentions, the right reasons. And I know the Lord blesses that. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 3. And this is where believers have a particular responsibility. And those are of the household of faith. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. 1 John 3, 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let it not just be words. He says, let it be deed and truth. Put yourself out there if you have that means. Because it says in verse 7, but whoso hath this world's good, meaning whoso has the provision, whoever has the ability to provide that person who is in need. Also, going back to our text here, he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. You know, even the Lord, even God himself in Jeremiah says, or Ezekiel, my apologies, Ezekiel, twice he says it. He says that he does not glory in the death of the wicked, but that they would repent and that they would turn from their wicked ways. He's not glad at their calamity. I mean, same time, we balance that with a holy God who is just and who says that he will laugh when they're in derision. And I it's hard to we balance that the God that says he does not joy. It's not something he enjoys to see them perish. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But at the same time, the person who has repeatedly gone against God, repeatedly said no to the gift of his dear son, the Bible says in Hebrews, in a passage we're going to look at this in the next service, that God will come down upon them, and how scary it is to fall into the hands of a living God. But we, especially as humans, we are not to be glad at calamities. When something befalls somebody, when maybe they are in a financial bind, maybe they lose a loved one, maybe that person was mean to us, and maybe we sort of are tempted to feel vindicated, or to have an unrighteous happiness at their troubles, but we ought not to be that way. Jeremiah 17, verse 6, or even before we get there, Proverbs 24, 17 through 18 says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So don't rejoice when your enemy falleth. When a Christian warns the lost about the judgment to come, the way of salvation, there will be some that will misinterpret it as thinking that we are kind of on a high horse, and some that will interpret it as us saying basically that we don't want people to come to heaven, that we want it to be small, and that we are being judgmental of people, wanting them to go to hell. And that is not true. Not true at all. We want every single person, even the most wicked person, to go to heaven. We want them to see their need of a Savior, to repent of their sins, seek God's forgiveness, turn from that sin, having that change of heart and mind which leads to a change of direction, and putting their faith in Jesus Christ so that they can have eternal life. Those are the two things, the two sides of the coin. That will get someone to heaven. That will make them right with God. We don't joy in calamities. We want to see people. Sometimes we look at a calamity and we say, wow, sad as that is, I hope that turns that person around so that, God might use that situation for his good, so that, they might turn around from the direction they're going. Okay, we're going to close in prayer and have about a 10-minute break before the morning worship service. Dear Father, we come before you, and Lord, we pray that...